morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We got a big announcement here today. Not really our announcement, but reported yesterday evening. It was after I went to bed, or at least after I shut the computer down for the evening, and I had to wake up to this. Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that the Packers are doing a little shuffling of their offensive line. Brian Bulaga will be moving to left tackle, and Josh Sitton will be moving to left guard. So basically, the Packers are moving the right side of their offensive line over to their left. Of course, that means TJ Lang will be moving to right guard, and a whole lot of options at right tackle. We don't exactly know who the right tackle will be right now, but there is no shortage of players available to fill that slot. John says on the live blog, it's surprising, but not shocking. Here's my initial reaction to the news that the Packers are shuffling their offensive line. What took so long? This was a move that should have been made a year ago. Now, I'm in the better late than never camp. No doubt about it. Packers, Mike McCarthy, whoever was involved in this decision, offensive line coach James Campen, offensive coordinator Tom Clements, or even head honchos up in the front office, although I'm not sure how much influence Ted Thompson would have had in this decision. But, congratulations. Let's give them a round of applause for making this this decision here to move Bulaga and Sin over to the left side of the offensive line. But, and maybe Jamie, if she wants to, can go through the archives at Cheesehead TV and pull it up, although it might be a little bit hard to find. I wrote a column in the off season last year. I think it was shortly after the season ended last year, after the Packers lost to the Giants in the playoffs, that the Packers should have made this move. I didn't suggest switching Josh Sitton over to the left side, admittedly. But I wrote a column saying the Packers should switch Brian Bulaga to the left side of the offensive line to left tackle in time for the 2012 season. And admittedly, I mean, this is no small move here. There's a reason the Packers are doing it right now here in early May. So they have the whole entire off season to get acclimated to the to playing a new position, to basically switch their everything they've learned from what they've been doing on the right side to what they've been doing what they will be doing on the left. You know, their drops are totally different with a different foot, a different plant foot. You know, all those kind of things. It's going to take some getting used to and get a little comfortable with. So it's no small move. And I realize that this is, a big thing that's going to take some time. I think the advantage by moving both Bulaga and Sitton is that, that they've worked together before. There's a degree of, communication between them, a comfort level within their communication. So I think that's only going to help the both of them slide over to the left side. I recommended this a year ago, and the thing that bugs me a little bit is, how might have last season have been different if they made this move last year? You sit here and you look in retrospect, and it's a it bothers me that, you know, that the season could have maybe been better than what it was had the Packers made this switch last year, when they should have, when there was still instability at the left tackle position. After Marshall Newhouse had a terrible 2011, you know, that there was every indication, every opportunity that this should have happened last year. So that gets under my skin a little bit. But like I said, whatever. We'll let bygones be bygones. There's no way I can go in a time machine, or Mike McCarthy can go in a time machine and turn back the hands of time and make it happen. It happened. They stuck with it for 2012, so it is what it is. And now they move forward. Joel Oppenheimer says on the live blog, Brian, I do believe Josh and Brian were both left tackles in college. Muscle memory should make the conversion rather quickish. Very true. Brian Bulaga was a left tackle, but as I remember, Josh Sitton was a right tackle in college. So, I don't think that Josh Sitton played on the left side, to my knowledge. I could be wrong there. call you Oppie. Okay. Oppie. Sorry, you had the full name there. But Brian Bulaga has a lot of experience at left tackle. No doubt about it. He spent I don't know if it's his entire college career at left tackle, but certainly the last few seasons I know at Iowa were spent there. As you might have remembered, too, the Packers, even on occasion, would switch Chad Clifton and Brian Bulaga just like out of the blue. It was kind of weird when it happened, actually, and they only did it a handful of times. And we are talking like back in 20, was it 20? Was it the Super Bowl season? But they would like switch sides for like a play. And you know, you kind of had wondered, you know, Chad Clifton was kind of on his last legs, and maybe they were looking to get more push in the run game or something from Brian Bulaga over on the left side. So Brian Bulaga has even taken a few snaps at left tackle for the Green Bay Packers, but not many. But, what I like here about the move is that, you know, you're now looking at 4 out of 5 spots on the offensive line solidified. You're looking at Brian Bulaga at left tackle, Josh Sitton at left guard, Evan Dietrich Smith at center, TJ Lang at right guard, and that leaves a competition, an open competition, open at right tackle. And like I said, there's no shortage of candidates. So who we have here available to fight for the right tackle job is we've got Marshall Newhouse, the incumbent starter at left tackle. We've got Don Barclay, the late season starter at right tackle last year. We've got Derek Sherrod, the former first round draft choice. We have David Bakhtiari, the new fourth-round draft choice of the Packers. You could even throw J.C. Treader in there. You could even throw Greg Van Roten in there, maybe, although it appears that Van Roten is now more of an interior offensive lineman. It's let the best man win. That's what it is. I'm all in favor of that. I am all in favor of just having an open competition and just let's see who the best candidate is. Whether it's, you know, I'm thinking the most likely candidates are Newhouse, Barclay, and Sherrod. And there's arguments to be made for each of them. With Marshall Newhouse, it's... You know, he had such a poor 2011 season, but it was his first season in the NFL, so you kind of gave Marshall Newhouse a pass, and you'd be like, okay, let's see how many strides he can make. And I believe he did make strides in 2012. I think Marshall Newhouse was a better player from 2011 to 2012. you saw those games where he pitched shutouts in the sack department against some fairly decent pass rushers. And you are like, wow, Marshall Newhouse just might have what it takes. But then there, of course, he gave up like the most sacks on the offensive line. And even though he did play well in stretches, he just wasn't, you know, this complete left tackle, an upper echelon, top tier left tackle in the NFL. So, you know, it could be those things where Marshall Newhouse takes another stride this year and becomes better. So, there's hope there that Marshall Newhouse could be the right, and it's going to be a switch for him too, cuz now he's got to learn the right side. It's going to be the whole muscle memory thing's going to be going on for him over there, cuz as far as I know, he played left tackle in college. I don't know how much experience Marshall Newhouse has on the right side. I'm sure maybe he's practiced there from time to time, but just doesn't have a ton of seasoning on the right side. With Don Barclay, of course, he was the late season starter last year after Brian Bulaga got injured, after TJ Lang kind of spent a spell there at right tackle, but they did some shuffling, moved TJ Lang back to left guard, and that opened up the late season spot there for Don Barclay, and Don Barclay did a pretty good job, and you could even maybe say a good job for a rookie, an undrafted rookie at that. So with Don Barclay, they are, you know, he has experience. He started how many games? Maybe somebody could even throw this out there on the live blog. How many games Don Barclay started? It wasn't a lot. Was it the last half dozen games of the season or so? When you're including playoffs, something like that. So, but Don Barclay, he showed some aggressiveness. I think, you know, a lot of people credited the resurgence in the Packers' run game late last year to Don Barclay a little bit, in that he was an aggressive guy. He got it done. Maybe not a polished guy, somebody who still definitely needs work in the, you know, pass protection department. But, you know, he's definitely an option. Nobody's counting him out. I do wonder if he might be the Packers' best option, though, as a backup guard. That's the one thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation. If either TJ Lang or Josh Sitton were to go down with injury, folks, I think Don Barclay is the best backup guard on the team. I think just looking at how he played last year, his aggressiveness, his body style, his height, things like that, you know, that's just gives me a little bit of, you know, thinking that maybe he's better off on the inside a little bit. Not to say he's not good. I mean, certainly if all of a sudden Josh Sitton got hurt for whatever reason, you know, they could, move Barclay from right tackle to left guard or whatever, and then put somebody else at right tackle. But anyway, and then we got Derek Sherrod. Then we have Derek Sherrod, and obviously, the first thing the Packers have to do is figure out if he's over his injury, the broken leg he suffered in 2011. A horrific injury. You know, he missed the rest of 2011, missed all of 2012. You know, I think they gave it a shot there for a while with him on the PUP list and wanted to see if he could practice. And he may have taken part in some practices last year, but that's all the further it went. He just learned this past weekend, in fact. Derek Sherrod has had a second surgery on the broken leg and is now, according to head coach Mike McCarthy, doing a good job in his recovery and expects him to, be available during training camp. I don't know how much Derek Sherrod's going to be available in the off-season program here, OTAs, minicamps, things like that. But, I mean, as long as he is ready for training camp, he'll get a shot. And it's you don't know what you're going to get with Derek Sherrod after this horrific injury, which he missed a year plus. I mean, it could be a case, and I hate to say this, but I mean, you know, knock on wood or cross your fingers or whatever, but, you know, Derek Sherrod's career could be over. Maybe not in the sense that, you know, he could be on the roster this year as a backup, but maybe he never has what it takes to be a starter. And that would obviously be a disappointment for a guy who they invested a first-round draft pick into. So, I mean, it's disappointing, and it's, you know, certainly not all Derek Sherrod's fault in that, you know, had he not gotten injured, maybe we're talking about a different Derek Sherrod right now, one who could potentially already be a starter on the offensive line. But yeah, I mean, but who knows? I mean, let's look on the bright side here and say, you know, Derek Sherrod is healthy. I mean, he's not going to be handed a job, but he's going to be part of the guys duking it out on the right side here in the offensive line. As far as the rookies go, I don't think the Packers know what they have yet. You know, David Bakhtiari, J.C. Treader. I honestly believe the Packers don't know what they have in these guys. I think they want to get them into Green Bay, into camp, off-season stuff, and just see where they fit in. You know, that there's some potential here for David Bakhtiari to become a left tackle, but to automatically assume he's the guy, I think would be premature. That's his position. You know, you could sit here and say, well, now he's Bulaga's backup. Well, I still think if anything were to happen to Bryant Bulaga, I think Marshall Newhouse is your backup at left tackle. And I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Marshall Newhouse is going to spend all offseason on the right side, but in the event that he has to play left tackle, if Bryant Bulaga gets injured or whatever, at least the Packers have a clear backup plan there. At least the Packers have somebody who has some experience. And again, there's potential for Marshall Newhouse to get better. So, you know, it is what it is. So, I have no clue what the Packers have planned for these rookies here. I personally don't feel that David Bakhtiari is going to be much of a factor this year for the Packers. They drafted a 21-year-old underclassman who is raw and athletic, but has a high ceiling. You know, that's what they got in David Bakhtiari. He's going to need a year in an NFL weight room. He's going to have to get stronger. And I just think he would be probably a liability at least right away to the Packers, early in the season. You know, he's going to have to go maybe the Andrew Datko route. And that guy's, you know, be an option here too for the Packers, by the way. In that basically he's going to need an entire season of weight room and strength and conditioning to get him NFL ready. Now, being that David Bakhtiari was a fourth round draft choice, I don't see the Packers really, you know, placing him on the practice squad. You're probably, once you cut him, you're in danger of losing him. So it could be where, you know, David Bakhtiari is the eighth offensive lineman on the roster this year. You know, it's one of those cases where He's on the 53-man roster, but he's never active on game days. That's how I see, if I had to look into the crystal ball and peer into the future, that's where I see David Bakhtiari being. The eighth offensive lineman who's never active on game days. You know, and I'm certainly willing to give him every shot in the world. I am not, you know, ruling anything out. And I would assume the Packers coaching staff would not do that either. I'm just making a prediction here. And by all means, David Bakhtiari, prove me wrong. You know, show you're a stud. I don't think anybody would be disappointed in that if you prove that. But, he'll get a chance to compete at right tackle. Even Andrew Datko here, you know, it's kind of an afterthought now. The Packers took him in the NFL draft last year, kept him on the practice squad all year. It was kind of one of those things where you knew he needed a little bit of seasoning. He needed a year in a weight room. And you kind of wonder where Andrew Datko is at now. You kind of wonder, did it help? Did that year in a weight room help? Has he developed? Has he improved? And maybe he's Brian Bulaga's backup at left tackle. Again, there's so many options here now, so many different ways the Packers can go with different players on the roster. But, I mean, interesting stuff here. Just passing along some quotes here from the article by Tom Silverstein, who broke the news here. And by the way, I mean, this wasn't totally coming out of left field entirely. I mean, you go back to the NFL owners meetings this year back in, when did they happen? Right in early April, right? And head coach Mike McCarthy had kind of talked about needing improvement on the left side of the offensive line. So there was a little hint there that the Packers were maybe going to do something. And then, you know, if you listen to the press conferences this past weekend during the NFL draft, and McCarthy spoke and the assistant coaches spoke, and again, kind of got the idea that maybe something was in the cards here. But then, you know, this article comes out from Tom Silverstein at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here. And I just, you know, going to pass along some direct quotes coming right out of the mouth of Mike McCarthy, as quoted by Tom Silverstein, about, you know, his thoughts on the move here and where they're coming from. Said Mike McCarthy, quote, "I sat down with Brian and Josh on Monday, and I told them I wanted them to make the move to where they're on the left side. Those two are our most accomplished and experienced players. I told them about the responsibilities and my expectations about playing on the left side. Some of the things we'll want to get into schematically as we move forward. They were excited about it," end quote. And just moving on along here, passing on a little more from head coach Mike McCarthy. I suppose I've talked a lot about the tackles this morning, but maybe we could get into the guards a little bit. I thought this was interesting from Mike McCarthy on Josh Sitton here. Quote, "I even looked at the way Josh played left guard in the Pro Bowl. There was a lot of information that went into this decision." And with TJ Lang here, quote, "TJ just needs to get healthy. It should be an easy transformation for him. He's played both the left side and the right side. If you go back, we're a little bit of an extension of where you put your athletic guy on the left and the more powerful guy on the right." Yeah, there's this concept in football. It's kind of always has been this way, and it has to do with what arm the quarterback throws with. The right side of the offensive line is kind of, there's this concept of it's your strong side, whereas the left side of the offensive line is your quick side. And that's because of the quarterback's arm, his right side, in that he's more comfortable throwing to his right. The tight end typically, the tight end typically lines up on the right, although this is kind of an antiquated notion. Tight ends are lined up today on the right and the left side. But, typically, if you were to look at a breakdown of teams that run to the right, run to the left, you will see more often than not, if the quarterback is right-handed, a team will run to the right side a little bit more. You'd probably see a slight percentage of the runs going to the right, because typically they put the stronger offensive lineman on that side, where you have the more athletic and quicker offensive lineman on the left side. And that doesn't hold true for every team in the NFL. And like I said, it's kind of this antiquated notion of football, but there's still a little something to that idea in today's day and age. So I think what the Packers are doing, while they're getting the best pass protector for Aaron Rodgers on the left side and Brian Bulaga, I definitely think Josh Sitton is definitely a more powerful guy, but they're just the best offensive lineman the Packers have. The all-around best, in terms of being well-rounded pass blockers as well as run blockers, and the kind of guys who are going to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. And that, I haven't even gotten to Aaron Rodgers yet today, but I mean, he is the whole linchpin in this whole thing. I mean, basically, the Packers just made him their $110 million man, and they're going to want to keep him upright, right? they're going to want to keep him off the ground, and they think this is going to be the best way to do that. I have to think that is the Packers' thinking here. They want to keep Aaron Rodgers upright for the next several seasons, and they're just going to make this move now. They're going to hope Brian Bulaga and Josh Sitton and TJ Lang are here for the long term, and hopefully some other guys are as well. But they know those guys are kind of the cornerstones of the offensive line, their chess pieces, who are some of the higher cheat pieces on the chessboard, the more important ones, and they're going to build around them. So, it's at guard here. So now they've got Sitton at left guard. They've got TJ Lang at right guard. But there is kind of this whole, even when you count center here and Evan Dietrich Smith, there's not a whole lot of backups guards on this team. There is not this kind of guy who you like, oh yeah, he is our backup, like Evan Dietrich Smith was last year. You knew that, if anybody, if Sitton, Lang, or Jeff Saturday went down, no matter who it was, if any one of them had an injury, you knew Evan Dietrich Smith was the guy. He was the guy coming in. The Packers don't have that right now. They don't have the backup interior offensive line settled. They have options. There's a lot of options, but it is kind of a little bit of a weak point on the team. And I suppose if you're going to have any weak point, you'd want it to be a backup. So I mean, in relative terms, having a weak backup is all right. But who knows? Maybe somebody will emerge here as your backup interior offensive lineman. Who's that guy going to be? I think, perhaps, like I said before, the best backup guard is going to be Don Barclay. If anything were to happen to Sitton or Lang, I don't think Don Barclay is a center. But if anything were to happen to Sitton or Lang, Don Barclay could step in. But he could be more groomed on the right, for right tackle. So who do you have then? You've got Greg Van Roten, who the Packers had on the roster late last season. Played a little tiny bit as like an extra blocking tight end. But he's kind of been, practicing the center position. He's been practicing the guard positions. So there you go. He's a college left tackle from, where was he from? Penn, another Ivy League guy. But yeah, I think, you know, Greg Van Roten is one of those guys who's in the mix to be the backup. They drafted J.C. Tretter, I think, to be a backup interior offensive lineman. You know, not settled by any means, but I think that's where they're going to look at J.C. Tretter. But he has no center experience, really. He's going to undergo a steep learning curve at the center position just because he simply doesn't have a whole lot of experience doing it, and never in a game. So if they are going to groom him to be a center, it's going to be a long process with J.C. Tretter. The Packers do have a couple of true centers further down their depth chart. They had a guy they signed in the offseason, Garth Gerhart. He would have been a rookie in 2012. They have who they signed as an undrafted rookie this year, Patrick Lewis of Texas A&M. So those are a couple more of your true centers that the Packers have that are options to you know, be a backup on the offensive line. So, you know, out of those guys, you know, those guys are maybe fighting for one roster spot, you know, between Greg Van Roten, J.C. Tretter, some of these center guys. You know, looking at one spot here on the offensive line, one job perhaps. So not a ton of room there. And you know, Don Barclay, I think, is kind of a backup guard as well. You know, in a pinch, you know, might be looked at as the starting right tackle, but in a pinch here, he could be. So that's where the Packers are at. Quite the move here this morning. I mean, our whole show today on Railbird Central revolving around the shuffling on the offensive line. Spent the whole episode talking about it, breaking it down, where these guys are headed, the changes they're going to be making. A lot of things to break down here and talk about and regarding this move. And again, kudos to the Packers for finally making this move. A little belatedly, should have done it a year ago, but at least they made it. It's going out on a limb. It's no small change. So congratulations, Mike McCarthy, for going through with this move. I think it's in the best interest of the offense. And you know, in fact, I mean, you're kind of looking at a different Packers offense here in general when you go to the NFL draft and you see him draft two running backs as well. Whole lot of changes on this Packers offense this year, you know, from moving guys around to bringing new guys in, what appears to be more of an emphasis on the running game here. Could be a very dangerous Packers, offense here. Defense, we'll have to get to that next week. In fact, we were supposed to get to the post-draft defensive side of the football here at Railbird Central today. You know, we looked at every position by position on offense on Wednesday. We were supposed to get position by position today on defense. Well, with the news that broke, it didn't happen. We'll have to do that next week. But anyway, folks, thanks for joining me here on Railbird Central here this morning. I'm Brian Kirivu. On behalf of Jamie George, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. So Monday morning, check back in. Have a good weekend, everyone. Check out the Kentucky Derby. Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, DJ Williams, all going to be there. I got a post about it in our Packers calendar this morning here at Cheesehead TV if you want to check that out. But off the cuff. Just off the cuff here, I'm liable to change my mind, but I did my original handicapping. The pick for the Kentucky Derby is a horse named Golden Sense. So there you go. If you want to place a sawbuck on a horse during the Kentucky Derby, make it Golden Sense. So we'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.